Hello, and welcome to This Is The Way podcast. My name is Zach Way, and I'm the host of this short and simple podcast that's focused on a spiritual discipline, a fruit of the Spirit, and Scripture. So, turn on Do Not Disturb, or put your headphones in and put your phone on a counter, grab something to drink, or whatever you're going to do. Normally, I like to stretch, but you don't have to. And let's dive in. Today we're going to be talking about a grateful and content heart. A grateful and content heart makes a person kind. There's a reason that kindness is the fifth fruit of the Spirit. You need the first four first. Love, joy, peace, and patience, they all precede kindness. See, joy-filled people are grateful, and peace-filled people are content. And grateful and content people are kind. When we're grateful, we express our thankfulness for our circumstances and our surroundings and grace. When we are content, our internal dependence on circumstances and surroundings are overshadowed by God's grace. We're no longer held back by expressing thankfulness only when things are going right. When we're content, we can be grateful in even the hardest of times. When we're thankful, we narrow our focus and shift our gaze to what is directly in front of us. We're not worried about what tomorrow will bring. We're not obsessing over yesterday's mistakes. In Proverbs, we're encouraged to let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the feet of your path, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Turn your foot away from evil. But sometimes it's kind of challenging to keep our gaze directly in front of us and to be single-minded or focused on only one thing. We're anxious and busy and tired, and there's just too many things to balance. James, the brother of Jesus, writes in the book of James that the double-minded person is unstable in all of his ways, that he's blown and tossed by the wind. And I think that that's a pretty good example. When we're single-minded, we're stable. When we're double-minded, we're unstable. And a lot of times, a lot of us are unstable, especially now. It has become extremely difficult to focus on today and what is right in front of us because we have robbed today to pay for yesterday in preparation for tomorrow. The Greek word for anxious means to be spread apart. It's like being pulled in many different and oftentimes opposite directions. I often feel like I'm spread apart. Too much to do and too little time, competing priority. You see it in our culture. Greg McKeown, in his book Essentialism, notes that the word priority came into the English language in the 1400s. It was singular. It meant the very first or the prior thing. It stayed singular for the next 500 years. Only in the 1900s did we pluralize the term and start talking about priorities. Illogically, we reasoned that by changing the word, we could bend reality. Somehow we would now be able to have multiple first things. People and companies routinely try to do just that. You see, the thing is, when we have multiple first things, we become anxious. When we have too many options, too much is pulling for our attention, too many things that are very important because very important people have a lot of very important tasks, we often don't know where to begin or we end up failing at most of it. I don't know if you've ever run into a very important person, but they're often operating on adrenaline and anxiety, and they rarely exhibit peace and kindness. We're an anxious generation, spread too thin. Our focus is divided between a million different options. I often resonate and think about what Bilbo Baggins said, that I feel thin, sort of stretched, like too little butter over too much bread. Anxious, busy, and competitive people's lives are rarely dog-eared with kindness. But people who are content and grateful, they have more than enough to go around. The overflow of their hearts result in kindness. Now, the answer to anxiety is peace. And Paul wrote from prison, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And the word that Paul uses here, the Greek word for peace, means wholeness. When all essential parts are joined together and made whole. That's the peace that surpasses all understanding in guarding our hearts and our minds. No longer do we have to be pulled apart, but we can experience quietness and rest in God. He will guard our hearts and our minds and will take what has been divided, our anxiety, which pulls us apart, and make us whole, joining together all the essential parts. Are you tired of being pulled apart? Would you like to experience wholeness? See, I think Paul was on to something here because he knew that the secret of being content, and he said, "I know the secret of being content in any and in all circumstances." And that contentment brought him peace, even in prison. If we allow God's love and joy and peace to transform our hearts and minds, we will find that He is the source of contentment. Our contentment will lead to gratitude and thankfulness. We will become people who are overflowing and spilling kindness everywhere we go. Paul continues to write in Philippians, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard in me, practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you." So if we want to be kind people and filled with kindness, we have to first be transformed. We have to have a grateful and content heart. The anxiety that pulls us apart has to be replaced with peace, which pulls us together and puts us back together. So if you are tired of being tired and feeling thin and stretched like too little butter over too much bread, then come to God. Experience His love and joy and peace and patience, and begin to emulate that in your own life. Not out of a sense of duty, but because those are good things. They're worthy things to strive for. But they are the fruit of the Spirit and not the fruit of the flesh. So they're kind of unnatural. And if we want that fruit, we've got to be connected to the root. We have to tend to the root. We've got to get rid of the weeds. We've got to maybe allow God to do some pruning in our lives. So my prayer is that whatever is good and true and honorable and lovely, that those are the things that we would choose to spend our time and our thought life focusing on. And when we do that, that God's peace will make us whole and will give us a grateful and content heart, which will transform us into a person that is overflowing with. If you have a thought or a prayer request, please leave a voicemail. The link is in the show notes. And if you're interested in giving a short little devotional this month on solitude or kindness, please let me know. Send me an email. My link is in the show notes because we've only got a couple days left of this month before we move on to a new fruit of the Spirit and a new spiritual discipline, which I am excited for. But until tomorrow or whenever it is, happy trails.